January 6 televised hearings seem closer to finding answers this week, with the news Donald Trump and his family invited a documentary crew along on their attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is freelance journalist and author Sean Britton. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Plenty more info coming from the January 6 televised hearings this week, including the reveal, which would have been surprising in any other administration, that Trump had allowed a documentary film crew to go around taping the efforts of him and his team to overturn the 2020 election, a crew most members of his team didn't even know about. That documentary crew and their footage have now been subpoenaed. Ed, what's happening?
Well, this was about his family, actually, and they're given access on the family, and they just happened to be there in the January period and the lead up to it. So it may be a lot more of the same thing. It certainly won't be different. I don't know, you know, what the standard is for saying you're trying to obstruct the course of justice when you're falsifying evidence, when you're lying about ballots, when you're getting false electors. I think that meets the test in any kind of court. So the question is, when does this go to court?
One of the little bits that have come out of this is Ivanka Trump, Trump's favorite child, obviously enough, saying on camera that Trump should continue to fight until every legal remedy is exhausted. But she would have said that after she claimed, in testimonials that she believed Bill Barr when he said there was no evidence of election fraud. So essentially she said, I believe there was no election fraud, but I still believed my father should continue to fight against the results of the election.
Or did she say he should use the courts, which would allow a good record to show he was wrong?
Yeah, I guess.
So you could read that in two different directions. One, he has the right to use the courts, exhaust them. But if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Some are, of course, saying that Trump will have to turn on others, even potentially his family, to avoid going to prison himself. Any jail predictions this week, Ed?
Not yet. I think we have to have something that goes to court before we can make that kind of speculation. And I wish it would go soon.
Just leading off from this, though, I mean, even Richard Nixon knew when to turn off the tape recorder, you know? I mean, like, he's inviting a documentary crew along. Even Nixon knew it was time to turn off the tape recorder in his office.
No, he didn't. He erased. I think in the case of Trump, he wasn't in the office very much, so recording things aren't that important. But what is important is, what was he doing when he wasn't in the office? And there's speculation that he was on the phone, not on the regular phones, but burner phones. And he testified he doesn't know what burner phones are, when we've heard him use that even in public comment a few times. So I think, you know, knowing what the CIA can do, they'll find those burner phone tracks.
Leading on from this, it seems Republicans are finally turning on Republicans. Look, with so many sort of, you know, we saw all the moderates kind of willing to bend the knee to Trump, you know, and it sort of delayed the schism from taking place within the party. But now we've got, you know, obviously these Trump Republicans on one side and those that are not faithful enough to Trump on the other. There was an ad sort of released by the former Missouri governor, Eric Greitens, for his Senate campaign, who in the ad is brandishing a shotgun and saying, get a rhino hunting permit. There's no bagging limit, no tagging limit, and it doesn't expire until we save our country. Rhinos being Republicans in name only, a popular tag for the non-faithful Trump Republicans. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think the best thing that could happen is the RINOs run candidates during the regular election and defeat the Republican candidate by having two candidates. The Democrat wins because they have the most votes.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this. I really like this. This is a good, good move on the part of the RINOs.
It does make me grateful, though, for the Westminster system, you know, we have here in Australia, because, you know, say what you will about some of the independents we end up with, but the so-called teal independents in the last election did send a kind of a clear message that conservatives have screwed up the response on climate change too much, even for those who might otherwise vote for them on fiscal policy.
Well, let's not mix these metaphors here, because in the Republican Party, there have always been people further to the right, but they've all been in the party.
Mm.
Now we have a Trump Party, which is more akin to our Australian United Party, that is internally using the name Republican when it wants to, but Trump when it doesn't want to. I wish they just make this clear. This is the Trump Republicans, and here are the regular Republicans, and let people choose legitimately. Let's not be confused.
Yeah, I guess that is the source of my confusion, because we still have this two-party system, essentially, in the United States, and that's really...
It's really not a two-party system.
Yeah, we don't have the real picture of what that should look like.
That's right.
Uvalde and the police response during the shooting has been described as terrible and an abject failure this week by Texas Department of Public Safety Director Stephen McCraw, who also said they had the capability to act within minutes rather than leaving children with a shooter for over an hour. Ed, we've talked about the impact of this one on the gun control debate. But what about the policing debate? I mean, how do you think this event will affect policing in the United States?
I don't think it'll affect policing at all. This sheriff was an idiot. And he's been shown to be an idiot. What I hope happens is that every parent sues him based on these findings and sues the gun company and sues the parents of the kid that did the shooting. That's the only way to bring these people to heel.
Mm. Yeah, I did find it a little bit confusing that it was claimed, McCraw sort of claimed that they didn't have enough training to do this one correctly. And I would have thought that United States police, you know, American police, that's what they are trained for, to confront.
No, that's what they get money to be trained for. We don't know where the money went.
Mm, well, that's fair enough. Latest on Ukraine, and a Ukrainian drone has reportedly struck an oil refinery within Russian territory. Meanwhile, the United States is on track to honor its commitment of taking in 100,000 Ukrainian refugees before the end of September, and have offered to continue onboarding more, which, look, as was noted this week, the whole intake's kind of been shockingly smooth given the usual tensions on immigration in the United States. What's the latest, Ed?
Aren't Ukrainians white?
I think that might feature into it somehow.
I think you got a clue, mate. Now, I have an in-law that's Ukrainian, I have to admit, a second or third generation. And they are very hardworking, wonderful people, as most immigrants are. The United States needs Ukrainian immigrants, but Ukraine needs them too. And I hope they can go back home in a year.
Mm.
But you can be sure they'll keep their U.S. passports.
Yeah, I wonder, do you have any kind of predictions on what the number might be in terms of returning back to the homeland?
Well, anybody over 50 is going back.
Mm.
Younger people, after they start eating McDonald's, I think they've been poisoned and will not return.
I don't know if you can get McDonald's in Ukraine. You certainly can't get it in Russia anymore.
Thank God. Now, there's a real benefit to this war.
And we mentioned the Supreme Court is touching off on a few controversial cases at the moment. And this week, it wasn't one of the major ones, but it's causing a few waves all the same regarding the separation of church and state. The state of Maine has a tuition assistance program for parents who live in certain districts which don't contain secondary schools to help pay for their kids to travel to sort of other districts to attend high school. Now, this payment did not apply to religious schools. It's paid directly to the institutions because although parents are free to send their kids to religious schools, taxpayers, it's believed, should not foot the bill on that. But the Supreme Court in Carson versus Macon have ruled against that decision, saying Maine will now have to pay religious institutions in those circumstances, and ruling that Maine's refusal to subsidize sectarian schools is a violation of the Free Exercise Clause. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, I guess there are two thoughts on it. One of them is these kids, I think, should be able to go to any school they want, true enough, if there's no high school in their area. But give the money to the kid and not to the school. And if they go to a parochial school, let that be okay. So Maine needs to change their rules. They shouldn't be subsidizing the schools, but the child.
Mm.
Because now a college student can go to a religious university using federal funds.
Mm.
But the money's to the student, not the university.
Mm. And look, you know what we haven't talked about in a long time, Ed? COVID. You know, once upon a time.
What is that? COVID.
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
Well, every week. It used to be every week we would obviously be giving updates on the COVID situation. And well, now the news this week is that kids from 6 months to 5 years old will be free, at their parents' discretion, of course, to start taking the COVID vaccine. Any thoughts?
I think there will be very few people to take that up. I think the 11-year-olds were a little different, but I think there'll be very few parents who take that one up, but I'm glad to see it's available.
Mm.
Because for a kid who has, you know, some degree of issue, asthma, what have you, this could be a lifesaver.
Mm. And look, just a couple more things before I let you go, Ed. Primary elections. We've seen more primaries this week for Alabama, Georgia, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Let's see. Alabama was a Republican race, largely defined by Trump, while Georgia has continued to reject Trumpism. Virginia's looking competitive, while D.C. Remains stable, with Mayor Muriel Bowser looking to become the first D.C. mayor to win a third term since Marion Barry did in 1986. Although, I'd have to say, Marion Barry, not exactly the most auspicious example to be following. What's the latest, Ed?
I think we've got a circus going on in the United States, and the electoral process is in danger. So the committee hearings are making that clear. The primaries continue this farce with people running on the Trump ticket and not the Republican ticket. Trump is absolutely mercurial. One day he supports the candidate, the other day he doesn't. The sooner he's off the stage, the sooner the democracy can be repaired.
And just finally, Ed, wanted to touch on potential challenges for Joe Biden in 2024, you know, with all this talk of the midterms. I mean, let's look at it this way. Biden came into the job with a lot of momentum that is now sort of bogged down in this quagmire. There's a lot of belief he could face a more progressive challenger in 2024, such as Bernie Sanders or Ocasio-Cortez, which would make Biden a stepping stone, I think, in the history books from moderate to a more genuinely left-wing party. What's your take, Ed? I mean, are we seeing...
That won't happen. That won't happen. I think there are some people in the middle left who would take up that mantle first, like the senator from New Jersey, Booker. I think the United States is not on the left and maybe won't be. And I think Bernie's run his last race. Joe Biden is stable, but he's not been able to reach his targets. You could say it's overreach, but he's certainly done a hell of a good job with this war. He's maintained things, unemployment's at a record low. Sure, there are problems, but a lot of people in the rest of the world would love to have them.
Ed and I will be back next week to discuss all the latest goings on in the US and abroad. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out, US of Ed, on Facebook and Twitter.